Our stories are scary, but they're often a product of the imagination. Are you in the mood for something true? This week's episode is sponsored by the Foul Play Podcast. The Foul Play Podcast presents their own investigation of an unsolved case through a series of scripted, narrated episodes. Facts and evidence are presented, along with real interviews recorded during the inquiry. At the completion of the series, all findings are provided to the relevant detective agency responsible for the case. Hosted by investigative crime journalist Shane Waters, crime writer Wendy C., and Gemma Hoskins from Netflix's The Keepers, give the Foul Play Podcast a listen today wherever you get your podcasts. You just might help solve a crime.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday. And you know what that means? It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and I am thrilled to be with you tonight because we have a doozy of a story. One of my favorite elements about Weekly Spooky and why I created the show in the first place was I wanted to have variety in fear. Not just a creepypasta, not just a true story that you may not believe, but a show about all the things that are horror. Sometimes horror is very, very scary. Sometimes it's a little funny. Sometimes it's sad. Sometimes it's kind of happy. And sometimes it's cruel and disgusting. And this week, we have a lot more of the latter than the former, although it's a pretty funny one too. I think you're really going to enjoy it. But before we get to the story, I want to say, please, if you like the show, take a moment and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And while you're there, something that would really help the show that costs nothing to you is to leave us a star rating, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. That little rating you leave may encourage someone new to join in our little fun fear game that we play every Wednesday. And if you want to get even more involved, just go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. You can support us for as little as $1 a month and get all the inside information, bonus episodes, and videos your little black heart could ever desire. But now for this week's story. It's all about family. You know the saying, blood is thicker than water? Well, sometimes that's a tough pill to swallow. What if your family were bizarre, maybe even demented, but you just need them to get a day's work done? Let's listen now.
The Trouble with Cousins by Joe Salmo.
What the fuck, Jimmy? Get your dick out of there, I said, covering my eyes. My damn cousin would fuck anything. What's the problem? She don't give a care. She's dead, Jimmy said back, zipping up with a look so far from shame, I almost thought I was in the wrong. She can't give no consent when she's dead either, I replied, shining the flashlight into his unshaven face. Can't we just finish what we came here for? This is what I'm here for. You're disgusting, you know that? Look, just let me finish up with... Jimmy looked at the toe tag. Jane here, and I'll carry everything back myself. I even got a few Clorox wipes wadded up here in my pocket. I'll clean up after myself. You're a sick motherfucker, I said, shivering in the freezer with the cadavers. I couldn't believe his premeditated chicanery. Cousin, you're just jealous because I have a way with the prostitutes they scrape off the street and store for me in this freezer, Jimmy said, unzipping again. They practically melt for me, you know? Christ, I see too much of my cousin's penis. I don't know what a normal amount is, but this has to be an abnormal amount. Where did I go wrong in life? A few mental health damaging minutes later, I had my cousin's rucksack filled with the creme of the crop. Organs, limbs, nothing but the best for the doc. The pay was enough to keep us in blow and horrors of the living variety. I shone the flashlight at the exit door, silently motioning for Jimmy to exit the building. "How much is it per boob?" Jimmy asked, hefting the weight of the bag on his shoulder as we crossed the parking lot. "He didn't specify," I answered as I fumbled for the van's keys. Jimmy snatched them out of my hands and ran to the back. "I got this," he said as he opened the back doors. "Let me help," I replied as I rounded the back of the van. "Oh, what the fuck, Jimmy?" "I can explain. It's not what it looks like." "It's not a live woman tied up in the back of our fucking van?" I asked. "Well, that part is what it looks like," he said, sliding the bag next to the woman whose eyes were wider than dinner plates. "What other fucking part is there?" I yelled out, trying not to cold cock him with my pistol. I almost couldn't hold it in. It must be once a week I come close to just smacking that son of a bitch cousin of mine. His mama must have done some seriously fucked drugs when she was pregnant, then dropped him right on his soft spot. "Will you quiet down?" Jimmy whispered to me as he slammed the doors shut and gave me back the keys. "Look, it's not about sex with her. It's not pervy at all," he reasoned. "Oh no? When isn't it sexual with you?" I asked as I fired up the engine on the rusty Ford. "You'd fuck the exhaust pipe if it wouldn't burn your dick off. You slam a pocket pussy in there, and you're good for a bit before it gets too hot. It's like an erotic race," Jimmy said. "Spurt before getting burnt." I had literally nothing to say. The fucker was proud of himself. What the actual fuck? I shrugged it off after a few seconds and hopped into the driver's seat. We pulled out onto the highway heading back to home base. A shitty little blue warehouse down by the river where the doc performs his miracles. We never seen any of them, but with the shit he sends us to get, it's gotta be organ transplants and shit like that. Probably black market. Probably still cheaper than good old American healthcare. Fuck the system. "So, you gonna tell me what's with the bitch in the back?" I asked, realizing Jimmy still hadn't answered me. Also, I second-guessed whether I even wanted an answer. I know it had to be fucked. He took a long drag off his cig and tossed it out the window, letting the smoke fill his side of the cab. "I don't want to tell you. I'm embarrassed." "Are you fucking kidding me? You are embarrassed about what you do with the woman in the back, but not a half a fucking hour ago when I watched you fuck a dead hooker? You weren't embarrassed then? For God's sake, our family is screwed, you know that?" "Oh, all right, fine. Since you're family and all," Jimmy said and paused, lighting another smoke. He chains them when he's nervous. What did he have to be nervous about? The job was all but done. "When we get paid and you go off on your bender, I get lonely. I sit in that shit apartment by myself, so I've been grabbing me some company. It ain't nothing sexual, just someone to cuddle with and watch TV," Jimmy explained. "Oh, for the love of Christ!" I yelled out and slammed on the brakes. The van screeched to a halt on the dark road. I heard a bang and a muffled cry from the back. Whoops. "What?" Jimmy asked. "Are you kidding me? What's wrong with a little human companionship?" he asked, shocked at my response. "How many?" I questioned between clenched teeth. "Movies?" I slapped him hard across his filthy face. "What do you mean, then?" he asked, clutching his cheek, confused. How many women have you forced to hang out with your fucked brain?" "I don't know, like one a month or so since we started doing this," Jimmy answered and pointed to the side mirror. There were headlights coming up behind us. I got the van going again. So, quick math here. About a dozen or so. What do you do with them after? Do I even want to know? Well, I can't let them go, Jimmy responded. Oh, here we go. I swung at him again, almost losing control of the van as we took our exit towards the warehouse. We are not murderers! A muffled cry from the back of the van went all but unnoticed. We steal corpses. What's the difference? Jimmy asked, offended.
We don't kill them! We just get the parts for Doc!
I yelled as I pulled past the chain-link gate Jimmy had left open. I stopped the van at the large garage door and hit the button on the remote. I can't believe you're making a big deal about this, Jimmy spat. You ain't no saint either. I can't believe I'm related to you, I said as I pulled the van inside. The doc was waiting by the office door, as usual. We climbed out of the van and grabbed the sack, spreading out the contents on the stainless steel table.
Not a bad haul tonight, boys, the doc said as his gaze fell on the parts. Nice clean cuts, like I showed you. 18?
20, I said, putting on my best dickering face.
18, and I'll show you what I do with them, Doc said.
I don't think I want to know, I replied. Jimmy walked back to the van. He hated this part, but he loved the payday. We heard a thump and a scream from the van.
God damn it, Jimmy!
I yelled out.
What was that? Doc asked, concerned.
Just then, the woman came around from the side of the van, clutching her head. Blood flowed down over her face into a crimson mask. She stumbled a few steps and fell to her knees on the concrete floor with a wet, slapping sound.
What is the meaning of this? Doc asked, taking a step back.
Jimmy came around the side of the van with a bloody tire iron.
I'll take care of it.
Wait!
Doc called out. Everyone froze. The only noise were the sobs of the woman.
Did you bring me a live one?
Well, technically, Jimmy started.
25? I asked the doc. He looked from me to the woman on the ground and back to me.
22. She is damaged, Doc replied.
Deal. We shook hands on it.
Damn it, Jimmy, get her under control, I yelled.
The doc walked over and gave the woman a shot of something. She passed out almost instantly. He wiped her face clean.
More like this, he said as he pulled out a wad bigger than my cousin ever blew on poker and blow.
That could be a euphemism. Gambling, drugs, and women. That's the life. The next few weeks were a blur as we brought the doc livelier merchandise. And we had so much cash we ran out of mattresses to stuff it in. I got myself a safe deposit box down at the bank and started stuffing some in there. Just a backup in case Jimmy fucks up and I got a bolt on the idiot. Things were going great. Until it weren't anymore. It was raining hard, and Jimmy picked me up from my new apartment. The van had a leak in the roof about a foot from the back door, and it pinged annoyingly as it struck the metal floor. The van was cleaned right out. Nothing back there except an old milk crate we kept ratchet straps in. Where are we headed tonight? I asked, shaking the cold from my bones. I wondered how many more years of this I got in me. I should have enough money to head south and live on the beach.
Down to Mill Street.
All the best whores are down that way. We haven't hit it since the first week. No one should be suspicious, Jimmy said. It's amazing how the dynamic changed in our relationship. He knew his shit when it came to grabbing a woman no one would miss. Hell, I think he was born for this job. A regular people person, my cousin. We pulled the van around the corner from this greasy biker bar with a generic name like Mad Mike's or some dumb shit like that. The woman paraded up and down the block, either working for the bikers or trying to earn their gas money. We looking for a redhead tonight. He asked for one specifically, Jimmy explained as he lit up a cigarette. How do we know if they're natural? I asked. Oh, I can tell. Don't you worry, cousin. I rolled my eyes. Hey, hun, you got a dry place to fuck?
came the voice of a young woman almost instantly. She had an umbrella, but it wasn't helping her much. It was broken on one side. I walked closer to talk to the girl, to play the game to get her back to the van and eventually to the dock for a payday. Just then, she dropped to the ground under the blow from the tire iron Jimmy held. I glanced around.
What the fuck, man?
Relax. It's raining tits out here. No one saw or heard. Grab her feet, Jimmy ordered. Think about what you just said. Raining tits. I think that would fucking hurt, I said, and slapped him upside that damaged brain of his. Maybe it would fix it.
Shut up and grab her, he said, rubbing his head.
I complied to expedite the time to get back to where it was dry. We threw her into the back. I climbed in and ratchet strapped her down as Jimmy started up the van. I thought we weren't supposed to damage them anymore, I asked.
Yeah, well, she looked like my ex, was Jimmy's response from the front seat.
I braced against the wall for my crazy cousin's driving. We showed up at Doc's a few minutes later. I only had a few new bruises. I unstrapped the ratchet.
Ha ha, see what I did there?
I pushed her out the door and into the waiting arms of Jimmy. I almost felt bad for her. At least I haven't seen his penis in a week.
Oh, come on! Will you put that thing away for fuck's sake? I said, averting my eyes, even though it was too late.
The doc is late. Why can't I have a little fun? Jimmy asked.
Because we ain't goddamn rapists, you asshole, I said, and after having met my quota on cousin penis seeing, I booted him in the teabag.
He doubled over and fell to the floor. The whore started to run, but I grabbed her hair.
You ain't going anywhere, I said.
Where was the doc anyway?
It weren't like him to be late, Jimmy said. Maybe we should go inside and take a look for him.
I don't want to go in there. Who knows what the hell he's experimenting on, I said, shaking my head.
No sense of adventure, Jimmy quipped and grabbed the girl from me.
He pushed her towards the door the doc usually comes out from. He grabbed the handle and yanked the door open. Instantly, we knew something was wrong. The lights were flickering in there, and it was quiet. Too quiet. Even quieter than that. So quiet a deaf man could hear you fart a silent one. That's a saying, ain't it? The woman stopped a few steps in. We crowded up next to her to take in the scene. Tables were overturned. All kinds of medical stuff littered the floor. It was a fucking mess. Oh, and there was the doc.
You okay, doc?
I asked, taking a few steps forward and bending down. He wasn't moving.
I think he's dead, Jimmy said, pointing to the holes in his chest and the exploded ears.
I guess I should have started with that. He was fucked up. The woman screamed behind her duct tape and tried to leave. Jimmy was quicker than me and grabbed her as we heard movement farther in. I whipped out my 9mm and aimed it towards the noise. We didn't see anything at first, but then I saw something small, something insignificant.
Is that bees? I asked.
About a half dozen or so took flight across the room and came right for us. The woman wrenched free and tried to run again. Jimmy should have hit her in the legs instead of the head, for Christ's sake. The bees streaked past us and entered the woman's head through her ears. A loud screeching noise came from within and grew, second by second. It was almost too much to bear. We clutched our ears and dropped to the ground as we watched the woman's ears begin to bleed. The shrieking stopped as her eardrums exploded in a spray of blood out of each side of her head. She fell to the ground and the bees began to swarm around the corpse. Jimmy and I booked it towards the door to escape. Jimmy was first and tried to close me in with the what the fuck do I call them? Banshee bees? Banshee bees? What the hell was the doctor into? Jimmy locked me in, the bastard. I had to run the other way, deeper into the warehouse. I slammed the door behind me. I didn't have any bees following me, so I was safe for the moment. I could hear Jimmy trying to get that piece of shit old Ford started. We really should have gotten a better collection vehicle with our money.
Jimmy, you fuck, I hope they sting the fuck out of you,
I shouted in his direction. I passed table upon table of the doc's work. body pieces sewn together, jars of things, some of them moving. I tried to ignore those. There was some disturbing mad scientist shit happening. I mean, besides the screaming bees. That sounds like a band name. Another door blocked my path. Through the little glass pane, I could see an exit door. I was almost out of here. Then I tracked down that cousin of mine and beat the shit out of him. Everyone has to have goals, right? I reached for the door as I heard some buzzing behind me. I twisted quickly and saw a sight I never expected. Bees began to burst from the flesh of all the body parts. The doc must have used the bodies as some kind of a birthing hive or something. I don't know how bees work. Soon, dozens of them were buzzing around the room, getting closer and closer to me. I grabbed the first thing I could find to fight them off and swung the object. It kind of made me laugh, using a severed arm as a fly swatter. With a loud slap, the arm came down on one of those stainless steel tables, crushing two of the bastards. This was downright inefficient, I thought. I gave up, tossing the arm at the swarm and diving through the door. The small room on the other side was dimly lit from a grimy window. I stepped towards the exit. "Stop!" buzzed a voice behind me. I turned as the hair raised on the back of my neck. In front of me was the doc. "I thought you were dead."
"No. Reborn," he buzzed.
I saw in the shadowy light hundreds of bees crawling over his flesh, burrowing in and out. He seemed oblivious to it.
Doc, I gotta run. Jimmy is waiting for me. We got some hot dates lined up," I explained.
He didn't seem to care. He stepped an awkward step forward. That's when I noticed his eyes were gone. Just dark holes, full of bees.
"Join us,"
the voice rumbled in his chest. When he opened his mouth, only bees fell out. This was by and large creepier than anything Jimmy had ever subjected me to.
"Really, I gotta go," I said and reached for the door. A few dozen bees got between me and the door, and I took a step back. Panic began to set in.
"Join the hive. Be one of us. The glorious hive mind."
"Quit pulling my leg," I quipped, thinking myself clever, but it looked like I was the only one.
Bees circled back around Bee Doc and crawled over and into his flesh. Just then, a crash made me drop to the ground and piss my pants. Or did I piss them first? Either way, there I was lying on the ground covered in piss and debris as that piece of shit Ford crashed through the wall and smashed into Bee Doc and pinned his carcass against the wall. Jimmy climbed out of the cab with a bent, lit cigarette in his mouth. The bees emerged and started to swarm around Doc's corpse. I got up and tried to wipe the debris from my damp pants with some dignity.
"About time you showed up.
Couldn't get the old whore running. Think she needs a vacation to the scrapyard," Jimmy said and reached into the van. He pulled out a torch and a gas can.
"Dump this." I splashed the gas as close to the corpse in the front of the van as I could brave. The swarm was getting more and more agitated. I saw the crushed body and the hive walls inside. There was nothing left of the man that was the doc. The bees began to shriek and vibrate. They were hurting my ears. I had just enough time to see Jimmy's cigarette fly over my shoulder and hear the whoosh behind me.
"What the fuck?" I said as I got out of the way, feeling the heat on my back.
The bees' scream was unbearable, but dying down as they burned. More of the room began to catch fire and the smoke was getting thick. We made our way outside.
"Are you okay?" I asked Jimmy as he stopped to light another cigarette outside the building.
"Yeah.
You think that woman we grabbed is still in one piece?" Jimmy asked.
I fired a shot into the back of Jimmy's head. He fell forward onto the pavement with the still unlit cigarette in his mouth.
"You're a real asshole, Jimmy," I said, and headed down the road towards my safe deposit box.
Well, my friends, wasn't that a different type of family story? But really just the kind of thing you'd expect in Weekly Spooky. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Big thank you to Joe Salmo for writing the story. Joe has been with us since the very beginning, and his stories always manage to make me laugh and often cringe. But I'm always happy to bring them to you guys. Weekly Spooky is quickly heading to its 150th episode, which is honestly just insane. I'm so happy with everything we've done, and I want to say thank you so much, Joe, for all you've done for the show, and I look forward to reading more of your creepy stories in the near future. Speaking of thanks, I want to say a humongous thank you to our Patreon backers. You folks are really allowing me to bring the spooky on the weekly, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. We're at 84 backers on Patreon. I want to see us hit 100 this year. You can help me by contributing just $1 a month. You get all kinds of extra goodies and my admiration and appreciation. And speaking of admiration and appreciation, I want to say an extra special thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who pay just a little extra to hear their names on the show. They are Christopher Sullivan, Kathy Proquet, Gino Lyons, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, and Kevin Fry. Thank you so much for allowing me to tell you something scary every single week. So please go to weeklyspooky.com if you want to get involved with the Patreon or get some cool merchandise or just listen to our back catalog of terrifying tales. I assure you, it's a good time, and I appreciate every bit of support you all throw my way. I'm so very thankful. So remember, weeklyspooky.com is your place to go to support the program in any way you can. It's about time for me to go back to whatever it is I do when I'm not scaring you. But for myself, for our executive producer, Rob Fields, for my producer, Dan Wilder, and our composer, Ray Mattis, I will talk at you later.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.